The Eucharist According to the Fathers of the Church by Lawrence Feingold. St. Augustine. St. Augustine's theology of the Eucharist stresses its proper effect, which is the unity of the mystical body. It has this effect of binding together the mystical body of Christ, precisely because the members of the Church receive the real body and blood of Christ. In other words, the charity that binds the Church together is the proper effect of receiving the body and blood of Christ. The Eucharist can build up the body of Christ in charity, later to be called the res tantum, only because it is itself the body of Christ sacramentally present, res et sacramentum. In this way, St. Augustine is also stressing the realism of Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist, present under the sacramental species. In Sermon 227 to the Neophytes on Easter, St. Augustine says that the invisible bread and wine on the altar, sanctified by the word of God, is his body and blood. Through devoutly receiving that body and that blood that was shed for us, we become that body, which means that we are joined in the close union of the mystical body. Quote, "You ought to know what you have received, what you are about to receive, and what you ought to receive every day. That bread which you can see on the altar, sanctified by the word of God, is the body of Christ. That cup, or rather what the cup contains, sanctified by the word of God, is the blood of Christ. It was by means of these things that the Lord Christ wished to present us with his body and blood, which he shed for our sake for the forgiveness of sins. If you receive them well, you are yourselves what you receive." End quote. He makes this same point in Sermon 229 to the Neophytes on the Eucharistic Liturgy, in which he also stresses the conversion of the elements through the power of the word by which the communicants are made into the body of Christ. Quote, "What you can see here, dearly beloved, on the table of the Lord is bread and wine. But this bread and wine, when the word is applied to it, becomes the body and blood of the word. Because, yes, the very word took to himself a man, that is, the soul and flesh of a man, and became man, while remaining God. For that reason, because he also suffered for us, he also presented us in this sacrament with his body and blood, and this is what he even made us ourselves into as well." End quote. Later in the same sermon, St. Augustine again emphasizes the substantial conversion of the elements through the word of Christ. Quote, "And from there we come now to what is done in the holy prayers which you are going to hear, that with the application of the word, we may have the body and blood of Christ. Take away the word, I mean, it's just bread. Add the word, and it's now something else. And what is that something else? The body of Christ and the blood of Christ. So take away the word, it's bread and wine. Add the word, and it will become the sacrament. To this, you say, Amen." End quote. St. Augustine's Eucharistic realism can be seen in his affirmation that what we receive in communion is the same body of Christ that hung on the cross, from which we are fed. In a sermon to the Neophytes, he says, "Recognize in the bread what hung on the cross, and in the cup what flowed from his side." In his commentary on Psalm 99, he interprets verse 5, which says, "Worship at his footstool," with regard to Christ's humanity present in the Eucharist. Quote, "In my uncertainty, I turn to Christ, for he it is whom I am seeking in this psalm. And then I discover how God's footstool may be adored without impiety. He received his flesh from the flesh of Mary. He walked here below in that flesh, and even gave us that same flesh to eat for our salvation. But since no one eats it without first worshiping it, we plainly see how the Lord's footstool is rightly worshipped. Not only do we commit no sin in worshipping it, we should sin if we did not." End quote. St. Augustine's insistence on worship of the Eucharist before receiving communion showed that he clearly acknowledges the substantial presence of Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is worthy of worship only because it contains the substantial presence of the humanity of the Word. This is a good example of how liturgical practice, in this case the adoration of the consecrated host in the Eucharistic liturgy, manifests doctrine. St. Augustine stresses the identity of the priest and the victim in the Eucharist at the Last Supper. In a commentary on Psalm 33, he speaks of Christ holding his own body in his hands at the Last Supper. Christ was being carried in his own hands when he handed over his body, saying, "This is my body," for he was holding that very body in his hands as he spoke. In De Trinitate, he speaks similarly of the Mass as a sacrifice in which Christ is priest and victim. And what could be so acceptably offered and received as the flesh of our sacrifice, made the body of our priest? St. Augustine also emphasizes the sacrificial nature of the Eucharist in his sermons to the neophytes on Easter Day. In Sermon 228, he speaks of the Eucharist as the true sacrificial offering of Christ's body and blood that was prefigured in all the sacrifices of the Old Covenant. The Eucharist alone is the sacrifice of the body and blood of the priest himself. Quote, "You have all just now been born again of water and the Spirit, and can see that food and drink upon this table of the Lord's in a new light, and receive it with a fresh love and piety. So I am obliged to remind you, infants, of what the meaning is of such a great and divine sacrament, such a splendid and noble medicine, such a pure and simple sacrifice, which is not offered now just in one earthly city of Jerusalem, nor in that tabernacle which was constructed by Moses, nor in the temple built by Solomon. These were just shadows of the things to come," Hebrews 10:1. "But from the rising of the sun to its setting," Malachi 1:11, "it is offered as the prophets foretold, and as a sacrifice of praise to God according to the grace of the New Testament. No longer is a victim sought from the flocks for a blood sacrifice, nor is a sheep or a goat any more led to the divine altars, but now the sacrifice of our time is the body and blood of the priest himself. So Christ our Lord, who offered by suffering for us what by being born he had received from us, has become our high priest forever, and has given us the order of sacrifice which you can see of his body, that is to say, and his blood. Recognize in the bread what hung on the cross, and in the cup what flowed from his side. You see those old sacrifices of the people of God also represented in a variety of ways this single one that was to come. And therefore receive and eat the body of Christ. Yes, you that have become members of Christ in the body of Christ, receive and drink the blood of Christ. In order not to be scattered and separated, eat what binds you together. In order not to seem cheap in your own estimation, drink the price that was paid for you. You are then, after all, receiving that flesh about which life itself says, 'The bread which I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world.'" John 6:51. End quote. This magnificent homily brings together the themes of the real presence of the body crucified on Calvary and the blood poured out there, the sacrificial nature of the Mass making present the sacrifice of Calvary, and the Eucharist's effect of binding the church together in charity. St. Augustine also stresses that the sacrifice of the Mass involves, together with the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice of the faithful themselves. In Sermon 227 for the Neophytes on Easter, he says, quote, "Then, after the consecration of the holy sacrifice of God, because he wished us also to be his sacrifice, a fact which was made clear when the holy sacrifice was first instituted, and because that sacrifice is a sign of what we are, behold, when the sacrifice is finished, we say the Lord's Prayer." End quote. St. Augustine so strongly identifies the Eucharistic body of Christ and the ecclesial body of Christ that if the one is offered, so must be the other. The sacrifice of the head, made present on the altar, demands the interior self-sacrifice of the members who gather to offer the Holy Mass.